Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say. We are joined by a man that I have considered both a friend and a mentor for a long time in matters involving policy, national security policy especially, and particularly that involving U.S. interests in the Middle East and how we might best protect them and advance them. He is these days the senior fellow and director of the Center for National Security Strategies at the Hudson Institute, but he has served in government in a number of distinguished positions, including most recently as the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy under George W. Bush. Doug Feith, it's so good to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always happy to talk to you.
I want to sort of visit with you about a couple of topics, Doug, that are very much on our minds at the moment. There's a briefing that's going to be taking place up on Capitol Hill and in the White House complex to legislators about North Korea. Mahmoud Abbas is coming into town from the Palestinian Authority. There are growing problems with Iran. Give us sort of a sense, I guess not so much of the first 100 days of the Trump administration, but the lingering or malingering legacy of the Obama administration, which is doing much to shape this presidency as well.
I think the Middle East policies of the Obama administration reduced opportunities for the United States to take direct and strong action to advance our interests. I mean, what basically happened, if you look at Syria as a leading example, the Obama administration policy toward Syria put us in a situation where the warring parties are strongly adverse to American interests. I mean, you have ISIS and Islamist extremist groups fighting the Assad regime. The Assad regime is a major ally of Iran. We don't want the pro-ISIS or Islamist extremist groups to prevail. We don't want a major Iranian victory by having Assad survive. And early on in the Syrian fighting, if the United States had pursued a different policy, we might have had better options. But the way the Obama administration organized our policy there, we wound up with no good options. And so if we're going to be doing something serious in Syria now, it's not going to be so much direct action as trying to shape the circumstances so that there's a possibility that we could have a constructive option to do something that could advance American interests. At the moment, I don't see that.
A similar state of affairs seems to apply elsewhere. But before we leave Syria, let me just ask you about chemical weapons. Doug Feith, you were one of those who was very vociferous, as I guess was I and a number of others, about the folly of believing that we would actually be able to rid the world of chemical weapons by fiat or by treaty, in this case the Chemical Weapons Convention. What's your takeaway from what we've seen so far with respect to Assad's continued retention and use of such weapons?
Well, as your listeners will recall, the use of chemical weapons was announced by President Obama to be a red line. And then famously, when Assad violated that red line, President Obama chose not to take punishing action, but rather to engage in an arms control exercise with the Russians and the Assad regime, where an agreement was announced to get rid of the chemical weapons essentially through arms control methods. We now see, even though that was celebrated as a great diplomatic achievement, we now see that Assad violated that arrangement, basically taking the same kind of action of disrespect for arms control agreements that we've seen throughout the 20th century by non-democratic governments. And so we
which,
we're now
which
in a
suggests
situation
that
where,
we will actually be confronting in the future other of those non-democratic nations retaining chemical weapons and perhaps biological weapons and heavens knows what else as well. I mean, this really should be a wake-up call to us, not just with respect to what Bashar Assad is up to. Doug, let me turn to one other area that you have been deeply involved in for many years, including as the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, namely Turkey. Recep Tayyip Erdogan, as you know, has received narrowly, perhaps illicitly, a mandate, as he sees it, to further intensify both his sort of dictatorial consolidation of power and his transformation of Turkey into really another awful Islamist republic. What are the implications of that? And in particular, Doug, what can NATO do, given that it's now, I think, manifestly clear that they have somebody inside the huddle who is not on the team?
Well, it is a really severe challenge to NATO. NATO is not just a military alliance. NATO is the main organization of the Western liberal democratic countries in Europe, and Turkey has now, with these constitutional changes, taken itself out of the category of liberal democratic states, and it's so you have problems of policy where the Turkish government is at odds with the United States and with other key NATO countries. But then you also have problems of character, the nature of the country, and whether it's a really, you know, profound question whether it continues to belong to the NATO community. And I think this is really a serious challenge for the alliance.
Doug, you've recently participated in an important study about the Eastern Mediterranean and its sort of importance today and certainly in the future as a sort of cockpit potentially of conflict and important resources and other interests of this country, most especially, but many around the world. As Turkey continues down this path, is there anything you would recommend to President Trump be done to, damage limit here, perhaps even just with respect to the sharing of intelligence or weapon systems or classified information with a regime that is unreliable at best?
Well, it's I can't say that I have the clear policy in my mind on what to do. This is a really big challenge for the alliance, and I mean, the alliance has had challenges in the past when Greece was taken over by a military dictatorship. It also posed challenges to the alliance, and I mean, this is something that needs to be considered very carefully. I mean, Turkey is an enormously important country. It's got a crucial location. It has throughout history played a very important role as part of the alliance. It was a valuable contributor. Now you have these political changes. There's a question of whether anything can be done to strengthen the hand of people in Turkey who want to have policies like the traditional Kemalist policies that prevailed before Erdogan became the dictator of Turkey. And it's a very complex question, but I would the main argument that I would make is not for a specific policy, but for recognizing that this is something that is one of the major national security challenges of the Trump administration.
Doug Feith, thank you so much for your time today, for your extraordinary service to our country. Next up, my colleague Jim Hansen joins us. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.